What's up, students? This is Pastor Luke back with another episode of the Motion Students Podcast. Today we'll be talking about sexual temptation as on Sunday we kicked off our counterfeit series. To just give you a couple of points that we recapped, we talked specifically about, and I had the students write down, just because you are physically abstinent does not mean that you're spiritually pure. I want us to remember that. Like, this is a portion of this message that was a vital part that, okay, well, Luke, you know, you say all these things that people fall into and struggle with, but I'm not doing that. Right? On the other side of the coin, that said, that just because your actions show that you're not crossing that specific line or this specific line or those specific lines, that doesn't mean our hearts are necessarily pure. And at the same time, our actions display our affections. So there is both sides to the coin of, if we understand our temptation, how to flee from that temptation and seek after Christ, then our actions will follow suit, yes. But just because your actions are in line, that doesn't mean your heart is where it needs to be either, right? If our heart is not for Christ, right, then it is against him naturally, right? If we are not of Christ, then we are an enemy of Christ, as the New Testament says. So in our actions, they say something about our heart, but they don't say everything. It doesn't write the whole story. It doesn't paint the whole picture, right? So when we think about sexual temptation, you know, so often we think about these do's and don'ts when it comes to, I know I can do this, or I know I can't do that, or I can cross this line, but I can't cross that line. You know, this isn't really hurting anybody, but this is just, you know, it's just me, right? These are the questions that we begin to just justify ourselves right into sin. This won't hurt anybody. I'm watching this by myself. I'm doing this by myself. Or it's just me and my girlfriend. It's just my girlfriend. Or it's just me and my boyfriend, right? All of a sudden, you know, humans are really good at justifying sin. And sexual sin is at the top of that list. We will justify it until the point to where we just fall into that sin. And then, you know, when sin in full, as we read and we will read, that when sin in full leads to death. When sin, gives birth to death, that's when, you know, our sexual temptation has overtaken us, or our temptation for sin in general, we've fallen into that sin. So today we're going to talk about some things. How do we protect ourselves? What are some lines that we can draw? Because on Sunday night, I didn't want to draw specific lines for you, right? Because I don't believe it's about this five ways to get away from sexual temptation. There are no perfect five ways. The only one way that is flawless and it works every time is fleeing and running towards Christ, focusing our eyes on towards Christ. And so if you remember, we started in Jeremiah chapter 2. And see, in Jeremiah chapter 2, it began with the Lord was recalling some of the times that he had with the Israelites and the good times. He says, I remember the devotions. This is in chapter 2, or verse 2 of chapter 2 through 3. I remember the devotions of your youth. When you guys were young, you would follow after me and you loved me. It says, your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness in a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest, and all who ate of it incurred guilt, disaster came upon them. He's saying, I loved you and you loved me. Anybody who would raise a stake against you or an army that would rise against you, I would destroy them because you were the first fruits. You were the most important. You were my people. I chose you and you chose me. But in verse 5, how quickly does this change? Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your fathers find in me, that they went far from me and went after worthlessness and became worthless? You remember the wallet illustration that I gave, is that I was willing to give up my wallet for anybody's in the room. I'll give up the cash that I have in my wallet for the cash that you have in yours. Me well knowing that I have no cash in my wallet. And whatever you would have given me, you would have received nothing in return. And you see, that's what happened in this instance, is that the Israelites were choosing their empty cisterns that they were digging up, wells that couldn't even hold water. They were choosing that over the living spring of eternity that God was providing for them. You know, it says that it says that the Lord wanted to provide eternal hope for them and eternal security for them, and they were choosing the now, the moment, the seconds, the hours, over the eternal joy that they could have in Christ. And so, as I was reading, I wanted to focus our eyes a little bit on Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10, and then we're going to go ahead to the New Testament. But in verse 10, it really shows us something in chapter 1. This is really the picture. When you think of our sexual sin, our sexual desire, our temptation, God wants to do this in our own hearts. It says, "See, I have set you this day to do these things, three things, to pluck up and to break down." There's desires, there's temptations in your heart that he wants to pluck it up, he wants to take it out of you, and he wants to break it down and turn it into something that's actually Christ-like. He wants to destroy and to overthrow. There's specific things in your life, in your heart, in your temptation, in your sin that he wants to just completely take away from you. He wants to destroy that. If there's something that you just feel like you cannot get away from, the Father wants to take that from you. He wants to take that cup from you, that issue from you. And the last one is to build and to plant. What is the thing that the Father sees in you that you don't necessarily have right now that he wants to put in and insert in you and plant it and let it grow, and like this love for your prayer life or this love for the scriptures? Like, if you don't have that now, the Father wants you to have that. So he wants to pluck up and break down. What are some things that he can not just take away, but can actually break it down in your life that all of a sudden become, you know, Christ-like, and so all of a sudden become focusing your eyes on Christ rather than them taking away and those desires and those temptations and those things that you fall in? What are some things that he just wants to straight up destroy and overthrow? What are those big sins in your life, those big things, those big struggles in your life that he just wants to completely take away from you? And not overnight, but take it away over time as you grow in the sanctification process. Or the third thing is to build and to plant. What are some things that, you know, you as a believer in Jesus, you as an individual right now, if you're listening to this, it's my prayer that you are also praying. What are some things that I need to focus on that I don't have currently? You know, and so often I think this is where we can fall into the legalistic ways of saying, well, I need to read, pray, and tell others to do the same. Well, yes, but what? Not because, you know, you want to be good, but because you want to understand Christ more. Because you want to understand Christ more. And so, just as in Jeremiah, so often and so easily, you know, at the very beginning of our walk with Christ, you know, maybe sexual sin and desire wasn't an issue, and all of a sudden, as we kind of focus our eyes and our focus turns away from Christ into the world, these things come. And like I said, maybe you're not dealing with the sexual sin directly. Some of you are, some of you aren't. But if you're not, how can you examine the heart and let the gospel still purify your heart even when you're physically not dealing with this? This can be a mental thing as well. You know, and really the problem with sexual sin, as we talked about on Sunday, is this is a problem of the heart, a problem of the soul. Right? Most every other sin that you commit is outward, but this is inward. And this will carry the sinful baggage for the rest of your life. Specifically in sexual encounters, the two people become one in that moment, just as God had created. And if you have sex, then the oneness that you created will have to be broken if that's not in marriage. That will be broken, and that brokenness creates those empty cisterns that are almost permanent in your life, that there is a portion of you that was given away in that moment because you settled for the empty cistern, for the seconds, for the hours, except for the eternal glory. And as we enter into James, and we're going to read a little bit of James, and I'm going to close it up here, we understand that the Father has hopes and joys for us, and sex in marriage is one of those beautiful pictures he has for us. But just as when we fall into those sins, right, we can't think of it as, well, I am still a Christian, I'm still choosing God, but this is just something I do on the side. No, remember, in that moment, you are choosing God, or in that moment, you are choosing sin. And I think that's something that really broke the Father's heart in Jeremiah, and it still does it today, is when we fall into sexual sin, we're actively choosing the sin over God. Over God. Not instead of the moment, but we're saying in that moment that this is better for me than that. And that's a large statement that we're saying with our action, because that can create distance, because of the sexual sin will create shame. And God did not send his son for us to live in shame. Sexual sin will create separation. And God did not send his son for us to live in separation. So let's look with me in James chapter 1, verse 12. I'm going to be reading 12 through 18, and we'll see if we dabble into verses 19 through 21. Go ahead and pause the podcast and head over that way. And then when you're there, play it again. And here is verse 12, chapter 1 of James. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. Now, this is encapsulating everything I was just inferring, everything I was just alluding to. You see, when the blessed man who remains steadfast in Christ, that we're growing in understanding and our iron is being sharpened by iron, that we're growing in sanctification, we're becoming more and more like Christ, in fullness, right? When he stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. That's our eternal joy in heaven. Just as it talks about sin in full is death, steadfastness in sanctification and salvation in fullness is our eternal crown in heaven. It says, let's continue. It says, which God has promised to those who love him. He promises eternity for those who love him. Verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. His own desire, right? That sinful desire comes from within, because of our natural state of and condition of sin, as we've talked about in motion in previous weeks. Verse 15, then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. You see, this is a paragraph that the writer of James, or at least this translation has set out. In this specific paragraph, in 12 through 15, verse 12, it begins with the eternal promise of God, that if our salvation and fullness is eternal joy and eternal, our eternal crown, if you will, as it speaks about in verse 12. And then on the complete opposite side, verse 15, then desire, when has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when is fully grown, brings forth death. Right? Sin in full is death. Salvation in full is eternal life and eternal living with the Father. But I want you to focus your eyes on verse 15 right here. It makes a distinction, and I want us to understand this distinction. Then desire, which we've already spoken about, that desire is our natural condition. It's sin. We will naturally bend towards sinful ways, then towards spiritual ways. That's our natural desire. That's why Christ comes in and wrecks our life. But verse 15, then desire, when it has conceived, which means when it has born, or when it has created, or when it has stepped into, right? There's an action step there between desire and conceived. It says, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. So when the desire is not the sin. The desire is the temptation, yes. But the temptation's not the sin. It's when that desire gives birth to action. It's when you put forth those desires. You say, no, I'm choosing that. I want that. It is not unnatural, right, to have those temptations and to have those natural struggles. But those natural struggles and temptations are not of God. That's why it is countercultural to live like Christ, because everybody in the world right now is a bunch, right, honestly, of sinners, and they step into that sin and they don't have any kind of conviction or shame for that sin because they are not held to the same standards as believers in Jesus are. So there's a difference between desire and sin. Look with me in verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. I want you to read that again. How important is this, and how much is it linked back to Jeremiah chapter 1 and chapter 2? This is of God saying, of his own will he brought us forth. I mean, he created us by the word of truth, right? In John chapter 1, the word was God and the word was with God. That's where that's coming from. And then the back half of 18, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Where does that come from? What's that alluding to? The first fruits is just like it said back in Jeremiah, right? That you are my first fruits. Isn't that crazy? I'm going to turn back to the Jeremiah, and I'm going to read it verbatim. It says right here, Israel was the holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. Now we go all the way back to the New Testament. And in 18 it says, and we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. It's the same God then as it is now. We have the same position as they had then as we do now. God is calling us to lean into him just like they did then, just as they do now. You see, the Father wants our desires. He wants our eyes to be focused on him. And so we ask this, you know, we ask the same questions of, you know, what is the Father asking of us? Right? And I'm going to come full circle here and say, it's right here that it's my prayer that you're asking this. What does the Father need to pluck up and break down? What does the Father need to destroy and overthrow? And what does the Father need to build and to plant in your life? I want you to take a second after you get done listening to this podcast and ask the Father those three things. Father, what do you want to pluck up and break down in my life and take away? Lord, what do you want to destroy and completely overthrow? Where's the temptation and desire that you just, Father, want to rip out and take away? And he can, in Jesus' name, he can. And Father, what are some things that you want to build and to plant in my life? In the realm of sexual desire. And for students, I want to encourage you. This might sound the most cliche thing you've ever heard, but it works. If you begin to get tempted, those desires are coming to the forefront of your mind, you need to fall to your knees and you need to pray. You need to flee the situation. If you're at home alone, you need to throw your phone across the room. You need to get out of there. You need to call a friend. Find someone to stay accountable with. Say, hey, I'm struggling. Will you be praying for me? Then you need to stop and pray. Then you need to start. Throw on some worship music if you need to. If you're with your boyfriend or girlfriend and you're in a basement and you know the situation is heating up and you know you shouldn't be there and the desires are starting to come to fruition, you need to have that conversation with that individual and say, you know what? No, I'm choosing Christ. Because we have a very obvious opportunity to choose our desires in this moment, but we're not going to. Right? You need to, this is an issue of the heart. If it's important to you, if Christ is enough for you, and you believe you want to let Christ into these desires, then these conversations have got to start to happen. What are the boundaries that you can set? What are the conversations you can have? And all of a sudden, a moment where you guys almost slipped into sexual desire and sexual sin became a moment where you guys were pointing your eyes toward the Lord. You see how powerful that can be? It is my prayer that God is penetrating your heart, and that the Father is pruning and taking away the things that don't need to be there and adding to the things that do. It is my prayer that the students at Motion Student Ministries are beginning to shift their eyes towards the Lord. Let me pray for you. Father God, I pray, God, for the students that are listening to this podcast that are dealing with sexual temptation, desire, God, whether it be individually or with a partner or whatever, Father God, I pray, Lord, that you penetrate their situation. God, that you completely open their eyes to what you have for them, and that they are that is not an empty cistern. That will return void. That there will be an emptiness there if they choose that desire. But God, that you have something so much greater for them. Students, it is my prayer that we lift the eyes of others, that we're accountable to one another, that we can know each other's struggles, know each other's hurts, carry each other's burdens, and focus our eyes upon Christ. God, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Students, go in peace. Share this with students that you know are dealing and struggling with this topic. And if any student out there needs a conversation, come find me, please. The Lord really wants to focus our eyes upon him, and this is a very tough situation and tough scenario to do that in. Let's focus our eyes on Christ. Go in peace. I love you.